Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about playmaking and then talk a little bit about one of the very best playmakers in the NBA, Damian Lillard, for a couple different reasons. That's all coming up on today's episode of Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving. He's gone. Xbox at him tonight. At the cue.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Evan, how are you, buddy?
Oh, not too bad. Still not playing Animal Crossing, playing a lot of Fall Guys. It's a silly, fun game. You can't play it on Switch, unfortunately, so I can't pitch it to you too hard, but it's pretty good. How are you? It's a Sunday, so how's your weekend been? Did you get a lot of rain, too?
I did get a lot of rain. I harvested my first, like, fully grown eggplant in my back little pot today, which is pretty exciting.
You know, Chris, Justin of the Chase Down tweeted to Joe Parr clip about gardening, and you're not helping yourself by talking about gardening right now.
Look, I don't care. I live my best life. I'm going to make nutritious lunches for myself. And I know I'm just supporting myself and coming up with good new hobbies amid, you know, a global pandemic. Don't hate.
I'm not, dude. This is former Cleveland Cavaliers legend Isaiah Thomas would say, hating hours are during the week 9 to 5. Business is closed right now. I'm not hating, I promise.
Okay. All right. Well, before we get into the show, I do want to just shout out someone, a friend of the program, Jeff Siegel. As you heard, we reference Early Bird Rights a lot on here, and he's been on the show a bunch in the past. He has a job now with Clutch Sports as a cap specialist. So I just want to shout out Jeff, one of the very best people I've met doing this work. And I'm going to really miss his website as a resource for myself for now, but I just want to congratulate him for getting that role, and it's well-deserved. And he's, again, just a great, great guy. And you know, it's our loss as having that as a resource, but Jeff, leak me contract information.
I know. Congratulations to Jeff. It's well-deserved, and it's neat to then know, Chris, especially you, since you and Jeff are way closer than he and I are. You have an inside source at Clutch Sports now. Not many people have that.
Yeah, me and Jeff Harden.
Yeah, there you go.
You know. There you go. Whatever. Okay, so let's talk about playmaking,
let's
Evan.
Do
so
it.
That's our theme. That's our need we're addressing this week at Through the Sword. I have the post as usual, kind of about why it's a need. And can I we were talking about this with Trevor Magnotti as we were prepping for our live stream on Thursday, which we'll tell you more about later. But we basically, when I look at this and I look at what the Cavs are,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that Sexton and Garland are necessarily bad at it.
No.
I don't think there's like a lack of upside there. I think Garland, you know, has really good potential as a passer and has some really creative 3-point potential. I think Sexton is a really good scorer already, and I think we'll see what happens with the advanced playmaking. I don't really want to limit him because of that work ethic he has, but we'll see if that kind of actually pops in a way, because I don't know if that's translatable to like, I'm going to work at this. I just don't know. But basically, like, if you compare them to other young guards like Trae Young, John Morant, like the other guards drafted in their capacity that are we would consider like the lead of their pack for guards,
mm-hmm.
those guys are just doing this at a much higher volume and doing it better. And they're taking care of the ball better. They're racking up just more assists, not just raw assists, but also relative to their usage. Like, I don't think that they're bad at this, but I think they're basically just doing this at a much higher level and actually impacting the game in this way. Like, Trae Young can come across half court, and yes, you're worried about his shooting, but you're also worried about him, like, finding Kevin Huerter or someone open in the corner, and just, like, he changes the game and bends it with his passing. I don't really know if the Cavs have anyone that can do that.
I don't think they really do either at this point, especially at this juncture, I think, because Darius Garland, you know, you and I both have given him an incomplete grade on his rookie season just because we don't really have a lot to go off of just based on potential alone, and that gives you optimism, but at the same time, it also gives you pause that he wasn't really able to put things together. It's a mixed bag. So I don't think the Cavs still have that level of a playmaker on their roster at the moment. I mean, Sexton was averaging 4.3 to 4.5 assists before the league came to a halt, and JB was changing the offense a lot to more so cater to his needs and obviously Garland's needs when Garland was hurt. But playmaking has been a problem ever since LeBron left, but secondary playmaking is been a pretty consistent problem even LeBron was here. So a lot like rim protection, I think this takes a higher priority, because if you don't have guards that can initiate an offense, it's going to lead to more frustrated Kevin Love, it's going to lead to more Andre Drummond freelancing, it's going to lead to a whole lot of issues. And without that option for Cleveland, I don't really know where it is. And there are avenues in the draft. Trevor's going to be talking about that this week for Free the Sword, and then there actually are some options in free agency that might work. Matthew Dellavedova is competent enough, and he's more of a safety valve, but is broken offensively for the most part ever since he altered his jump shot, so he's not really reliable as a dual. I mean, you could have him as a playmaker, but that's all he really provides, and it's not really that great to begin with, so it's just frustrating, I guess, that the Cavs aren't able to address this need, and maybe Garland's the answer, but for now, no, there's no clear answer on this roster.
And I think kind of too worth noting is I have a hard time like trying to say this without coming across like I'm just like these guys are not like elite in any way and stuff. And you know, I'm sympathetic to the fact that like if you compare the Cavs to like Atlanta or Memphis this year under Taylor Jenkins, like those are systems and kind of personnel groupings that I think are much better suited to play to those guys' strengths. I also think Ja and Trey are just like insane level passers that what the Cavs aren't. And I also think like if you want to look at this in terms of just operating out of like pick and rolls, like Darius I thought made a lot of really good improvements towards the end of the year, where he was kind of knowing where guys are going to be and kind of passing them open a little bit and kind of understanding and kind of reading the defense a little bit better. You can go look at his assists and just see that even if he was still turning the ball over enough. Collins' best assists are really like the ones that are kind of dump offs, kind of when he actually is realizing that he's bent the defense so much that he can drop it off to like Larry Nance for an easy dunk. Those are the kind of assists I think Collins can get a lot of. But I think we're going to see like Kevin Porter get more of a chance to really, you know, impact things. But it's like one of those things, even if you want to, and I think it's a really good point on your part, if you want to go back to LeBron, like, do you remember when Jose Calderon came in and just like moved the ball?
He was the best point guard and it like Cavs made roster.
Right, and it just made a difference, and it was like, oh, like, moving the ball and, like, actually knowing where to put things and kind of how to keep things flowing is just, like, an underratedly important thing to me.
No, it really is, and I'm really thinking about Jose and how, like, awesome that Cavs offense was when it wasn't even George Hill at the time. It was Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose just vanished. Isaiah Thomas was still coming back from injury, and they bring Jose in, and, like, you have the lowest expectations, but Jose's just a very good and crafty point guard, and maybe is a player like that, a savvy veteran who's able just to initiate the offense and isn't like completely dead on off and from a shooting perspective and everything else, or like it's not a total negative on the defensive side of the court, or just, you know, teams aren't respecting them on their, or opposing teams aren't respecting them defensively. Like, I think this is a priority for the Cavs, and if Darius Garland shows that potential, great. Like, you didn't sign a veteran to be here long term. Like, it's going to be a COVID situation where I think you could throw your MLE at a player, and if you're in Cleveland situation where you can get a veteran to come in, maybe mentor the younger guard, show them how to actually make easy, intelligent reads and passes, and then you get them to initiate the offense that way. And I think we can talk about that in the next segment here, but yeah, no, again, it's just not an option here. And like, there's potential with Sexton, there's potential with Garland, but it's still not a common thing where I can firmly say like, yeah, these two are both playmakers and I feel comfortable with them initiating and running JB Bickerstaff's offense. Cause right now it's either that, or we get more of Point Dre, which I don't want more of Point Dre.
Yeah, and two notes on this. Number one, Kevin Love isn't used in this way as much anymore. Mm-hmm. Just isn't. That's not what Kevin is used at in 2020, even though I think there's a version of him where it could be a little bit more, but he's really, I think, primarily been a floor spacer the last couple of years, and even post-LeBron in his one-ish season, mm-hmm. that's kind of been the case. And then number two, I would say Darius, as of the two of them, probably has the higher upside in terms of actually like that kind of level of passing. It was one of the things that really popped for me with him at the beginning of last year when he kind of entered the league. But Evan, do you agree with that?
No, I agree with both of those assessments, and I think, like you said, it's something that's really popped Darius in the beginning, and the fact that Darius wasn't coming along quickly with the scoring, that's not what impressed me when John Boeheling gave the reins to him, opening the gates, just more so that Darius was just making simple, smart passes, and I think after watching Colin Sexton just play at 100 miles an hour and not make the right read, and like you said, if he pumps the brakes a little bit and like slows down and like lets the game come to him a little bit instead of just attacking the basket or just trying to look for the easy score, Colin could be a passer as well. But no, Darius's ceiling is a lot more higher in terms of playmaking. Probably not as high as Colin's in terms of scoring, but that's fine. Like, I don't know, maybe Darius is more DJ Augustine, which is something I'm going to be alluding to the next segment here, but that's totally okay with me if like that's what his projection is both the scorer and a playmaker. Maybe a little bit better, hopefully, in terms of pickage, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I also read that I think like kind of one-on-one shot making is its own form of playmaking. And if you just look at the Blazers beating Portland, like as much as like we can poo-poo like ISO basketball and movement and whatever, like having McCollum being able to do what he did at the end of that game is really important. Yeah. Having Dame is like who's a crafty and arguably the best like pick and roll creator in the league is like its own thing as well. But like having two guys like that can create shots for themselves and play make in that way, which ultimately can lead to like catch and shoot threes for spot up guys. Like there is a lot of value in that too. Mm-hmm. And I think Sexton is probably a little more advanced than that.
Yeah.
But Garland probably has a little. Garland might have like a little more kind of creativity to how the kind of three pointers he's going to take.
No, I agree with that. And speaking of Dane, speaking of CJ, the NBA playoffs start on Monday, and we are in the middle of a quarantine right now, folks. And sometimes it's just hard to cook, and you want to celebrate and watch sports, maybe order yourself some wings. But you know, it can help make that possible, Chris. Our friends at DoorDash.
Darn right.
You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the US, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless and keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees. That's actually a really good deal. On the first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
And again, do that. Thanks for sponsoring us. And we'll be right back with more Lockdown Cavs talking about playmaking solutions right after this. We're back here on Lockdown Cavs. Evan, do you want to do draft first or do you want to do free agency?
Let's do free agency because I think, depending where the pick falls, if it lands in the top three, possibly one or two, depending on how the chips fall, LaMelo Ball is your best option in terms of playmaking.
He's the most interesting one, absolutely yeah. No question. He's the only one that I'm like, that's the most sure
he brings to the table. Like, I feel shaky on other things about LaMelo, but maybe I'm more confident than others that he'll kind of figure out because he's young, and if you get him in with an NBA team like the Cavs, who are really good at player development, it works out.
And the Cavs are also just, like, again, I think they're far away. Like, even though they want to make the playoffs and sure, whatever, this is a team that is not, like, one really good rookie away. Like, they can afford to kind of, I think, roll the dice on a guy like that.
I mean, yeah, I want to date Jennifer Lawrence, and the Cavs want to make the playoffs, but neither of us are going to achieve that within the next year or so. But let's talk about free agents. There actually are some intriguing options that make me think of Darius Garland a little bit. You look at the list, Fred VanVleet is the best unrestricted free agent in terms of just as a playmaker as a whole, but he's not coming to Cleveland for $8 million off the top of my head. I could be wrong on that number. People can feel free to correct me. So I feel like he's going to be heading to the Knicks. I just feel like that's an inevitable thing if the Chris Paul trade doesn't work out, or he ends up back in Toronto because the Raptors are just a well-run organization who can make it work. But right below Fred VanVleet, Chris, do you think Jeff Teague's a realistic target at 32 years old for the Cavs to like offer the mid-level, the full mid-level exception and say, Jeff, there's no guarantee. You've been kind of crap ever since you first left the Hawks, and hasn't been really great from the Hawks, from what I remember correctly, ever since he was traded back to Atlanta.
He's not been good with the Wolves, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, he was really bad at the Wolves. That's all I remember. But he's averaging 5.2 assists on the year, which isn't terrible. And Jeff Teague is a player Darius, and I know you hate player comps, but he's a player that Darius drew comparisons to coming out of Vanderbilt as like the middle of the pack scenario, instead of, you know, Kevin O'Connor comparing him to Damian Lillard, which is like, you know, a best case scenario. But Jeff Teague wouldn't be harmless, in my opinion. I think would be a good third option point guard, especially if Delly doesn't come back, or if Delly decides to, you know, retire or do whatever. It's kind of uncertain what's going to happen at this point, but the Cavs could be in the market for a third guard, and I'd prefer to get a veteran who can actually teach these younger guards, and Colin and Darius, and I think Jeff Teague would be like the ideal target for that.
Okay, I have two thoughts on this. Number one, if Delly could just be brought back and at a much cheaper cost, so you could like...
Oh, Delly would sign for the vet then.
Yeah, I'm or like sure. Even if you just gave him like a little like thanks for being around money and give him like $3 million or something like that, like I don't think that's bad. The other thing about this is like considering where the Cavs are at, and I know he's injury prone, but this is the role Dante Exum should be trying to play.
Oh my god, that's true.
But like Dante, he's already in house. You're already paying him $9.6 million next year. Like he's on the books. He's much younger. He's theoretically like an actual part, like someone you could work into what you're doing the next couple of years. Bigger guy, defender, like actually could provide some positional versatility with your guards. Like, I'm pretty in on him being like a potential thing you could do. I don't know. Like, again, the health thing with him is like very real and very concerning. But if you're talking to me about like potential fixes, like I think Delly at a minimum, and XM is preferable to me. That I would rather spend my money elsewhere if you're going to spend any money at all.
I agree with that. I think if the Cavs are really going to use this mid-level exception, they need to target a weak wing defender, because that is Cleveland's most... I mean, rim protection's bad. There's a lot of weaknesses on this Cavs team at the moment, but like wing defense is like the strongest one, or like the most precedent need. So that's just an option. But yeah, no, let's jump ship actually, because if you're really going through it's a grim list for free agent guards this year, folks. So, I mean, Chris Dunn would be really fun too, and I'm going to do a write-up on him later on, but more so for what he brings on the defensive side of the ball. But no, I think Delly is, yeah, you could like, I think $3 million is an option, but can the Cavs... Well, they have his bird rights, so I guess they could offer him a little bit above the vet min at that point. But would the Cavs be willing to flirt with that game to give Matthew Dellavedova a little bit of extra thank you, Skrilla? I mean, he's not going to get the $9.6 million he's getting this year, but I feel like he'd sign for the vet min if he really wants to ride it out for one more year, or maybe a year or two. I mean, to be fair, how old is Delly? He's, like, close to us in age, so I feel like I'm making him seem... Yeah, he's 29, so he's only 2 years older than us, Chris. I make him seem like he's way older, but we're pretty washed individuals ourselves, so it's fine.
Oh, I'm extremely washed. I readily admit it.
Yeah, I agree with the fact that like Delly could be a good safety option too, but this is bad, but I forget Dante Exum exists on this Cavs roster much.
That's like a thing with him. That's like not like an...
He's an enigma.
Because he's very quiet, number one, and he's always hurt.
Yeah, no, and it's a bummer, too, because remember when he had that awesome game? I have to look it up again. You might remember who it was against, but I remember he had, like, a career-type game with the Cavs, and you're like, oh, wow, cool.
It was against the Wolves, and he scored, like, 30-something points, and then, like, immediately in the beginning of the next game,
immediately after.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it was just an absolute bummer, because Dante, that's the story of his career. Like, he shows, like, this potential. He shows why he was picked fifth overall in the draft, his draft class, and it's just disheartening because he tries to put it all together, and it's disheartening and frustrating for him too, I'm sure, that he can't consistently stay healthy, and it's just a shame. But like, I don't know if Dante will be a long-term option for this Cavs squad too for next season, because he's technically an expiring contract and he will be making $9.6 million. So if the Cavs want to try and include him as just like extra space, if they want to dump Andre Drummond's expiring on somebody to bring back more salary and picks, which seems unlikely for the Cavs, but you never know. You package in Exum's contract as well. You can bring in even more bad money with that, or you can use Exum's contract in a second deal. So I feel like adding Dele to the fold would really help. But yeah, if Exum's healthy, you can make it work. But I still think maybe the Cavs need to look at other options, and maybe there's somebody in the G League they could bring along that is just a safety valve option if Dele starts to fall apart again.
We also, again, note that they're going to give more opportunities to Kevin Porter.
Yeah, they are, too.
So you don't want to... I wonder if they're going to... That would limit them from kind of adding too many pieces, because the point of having him is trying to see what you can do with him. And having us... That's why I just think, like, Dele as a support system is just... It makes a lot of sense. But, Evan, you know what could also help you with your support system? You know what could really be, like, a really good support system for you?
Is it all the new flavors at Built Bar?
Yeah, that is right. And that's our friends at Built Bar and their amazing new flavors. Those are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. And they have their 12 original flavors still that includes raspberry, coconut almond, double chocolate, toffee almond, peanut butter brownie, and a whole bunch more. If you're not familiar, Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. They help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for you keto diet followers out there. And you have flavor profiles, the new ones, like the cookies and cream, which is on the way to my house, and I can't wait to try. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. Right now, I can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Check out those new amazing flavors. Check out their social and get a look at the brand new back Built Bar. And we're very excited about that. And Evan, why don't you tell everyone about our other sponsor?
Hey guys, I want to tell you about a new website that just launched August 1st called OhioVersusEveryone.com. The site covers all Ohio sports and pop culture. They have in-depth, interesting articles that cover the Cavs, Browns, Indians, and even the Buckeyes. They actually just posted an article about Colin Sexton versus Darius Garland that Chris and I both loved. It's all your favorite teams, all in one site, and because they cover all the teams, they only bring you the best, most interesting topics. Check them out. Again, it's Ohio versus Everyone. That's OhioVsEveryone.com.
Go check them out. And Evan, let's dive right into our segment here on Damian Lillard. We want to talk about him, I think, for a couple of reasons. Number one, he won the, as our friend Eric Garcia Gunderson calls it, the bubble of the or, the best player in the bubble, I think, very much well-deserved. He's been incredible for Portland, and I know the people are like, NBA media loves Dame, but like NBA media loves Dame, and it's for a good reason. I love Dame. I'm a buyer.
I mean, people who, for some reason, are cynical about media enjoying watching a player play maybe needs to get their life reevaluated and checked, because you can draw pleasure from other things and frustration from things, too. But, like, don't shit on other people's parades just because Dame Dall is really fun to watch. Like, Damian Lillard is so fun to watch, and I don't think the Blazers are going to beat the Lakers. I think I have the Lakers winning in 5 just because I know there's going to be a game that Dame goes absolutely nuclear on Rajon Rondo and Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. And, I mean, Danny Green will slow him down, but not having Avery Bradley is really going to hurt them. But Portland's wing defense is as bad as the Cavs, because ever since Trevor Ariza opted out, and so LeBron's just going to eat Carmelo alive, so it just kind of balances out a little bit. But I'm going to give the Blazers at least one game in this series. But to make this more Cavsy, again, Kevin O'Connor compared Damian Lillard to Darius Garland, and I do not see that at all from watching the limited time watching Darius. Like, Dame is a different beast all on his own, and like, I just don't get that vibe from Darius, where like, Dame has a legitimate chip on his shoulder. He sets the culture, he sets the foundation. I see it more as Sexton in terms of a chip on the shoulder and culture and foundation, but like, Dame is just like an unconscious shooter, and if Garland could tap into that, even a modicum of that type of potential, oh my God, the Cavs would be in such a good place going forward.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I think is really important about Dame is that, like, he's actually, like, a leader.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Dame is this guy that, like, you know, sports writers have this thing where we'll write about leadership and, like, all these this cliche shit. And sometimes it's just, like, a bunch of bullshit, frankly. Like, it happens.
So you're telling me Skip Bayless saying LeBron doesn't have a clutch gene isn't authentic.
But yes, but when you like actually like hear what his teammates, current and former, like say about Dame, and you look at like the Nurkic thing, and like the way that he is like known for like going up to guys like in the locker room like 1 to 15, and like actually like getting to know them, and like actually being like, this is what we're about here, and like setting a tone. I think especially when like you're not a franchise that can like count on getting really good players to just come to you, like the Lakers, and theoretically the Knicks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you need that kind of guy. And if you could, I don't know, like, if I've never read anything that indicates to me that, like, Portland knew that that is what Dame was going to be when they drafted him, right? Like, I don't know if you can, like, figure this out in your pre-draft profile of a player. But no, the Cavs need...
really can't.
The Cavs could, like, if they could get a young guy like that and, like, be that kind of guy, and it takes time to mature and all that stuff, so, like, maybe the guy's on the roster or not, we just don't know it. That is something that I think for the next, like, if they're ever going to be a different kind of franchise than they've been, you explicitly need that kind of player in my mind.
No, you really do, and it is cliche, but the way Dame, like, actively tries to bond with all 15, every single one of his teammates is something Tom Brady does with the Patriots. I still remember this. I don't like James Harrison, the player, very much, but, like, when he was let go by the Steelers and he signed with the Patriots, he thought for the longest time that Tom Brady was super fake and unauthentic, but, like, no, it's the real deal. Like, if you have a guy who cares about you like Dame does, again, it sets the culture, it sets the foundation, but if you have a leader like that, they're going to want to go to war with you every time, and I think that's what makes this Blazer squad so damn fun, is, like, there's a lot of compelling pieces. You have Dame, you have CJ, you got Melo, Nurkic is a lot of fun, Whiteside off the bench is frustrating because, you know, he's just, I feel like he's going to do something really stupid in the playoffs, but this Portland team starts and stops with Damian Lillard, and he makes it so fun, but, like, he gives this Portland squad that swagger and attitude, too, because he's just such a good leader, and, like, his teammates just believe in him, and, like, I know it's overplayed, like, the whole Dame time and stuff like that, like, sure, maybe it gets annoying to some people, I think it's fun, but if the Cavs had a player like that, it'd be so great, and who isn't, like, openly toxic, who isn't, like, Dame is fully committed to staying in Portland and has no intentions of leaving. If the Cavs were able to nab a player like that, or if LeBron didn't, you know, flirt with the idea of leaving all the time and putting that fear in the back of fans' minds, like, which, but it's understandable why LeBron did, just to be clear. It just makes it more fun, and, God, I really like Damian Lillard. Like, I hope they wear the cream alternate jerseys there in the playoffs, because that's one of the best looks in the NBA, and the Lakers have one of the best looks in the NBA again ever since they went back to the Magic Johnson era uniforms, so it's going to be a good looking matchup, and it's going to be an even better looking matchup in terms of basketball between these two squads, but Portland's not going to get past the Lakers, I'm more than sure of that.
Yeah, they're not going to win that series, but if you just talk about, like, a guy that has competed for years, has put up the numbers he has, that is in the much better conference, like, I think Dame is one of the most fun players of this era. And also, just, like, look, like, the shot he had over Paul George last year is one of the, like, he's hit two, pretty iconic, like, at least one iconic game.
That one where he knocked the Rockets out and he stood on the stanchion and he yelled Rip City into the mic. I remember that one,
too. Yeah, and then the Portland one that he had over Paul George last year is just, like, incredible.
Yeah, he's just, again, really fun, and when he was going nuclear at the end of the bubble, and I know Portland had to come back against Memphis to knock them out, but this team comes in, it lives and dies by Dame, and that's a great play to live and
but
die
he's also
by.
Willing to, like, cede the floor to CJ when he needs to.
Cedes the floor to CJ, and also just, like, sets up his teammates for success. Like, not only did Dame have a great game against Memphis yesterday, I know off the top of my head, Nurkic had a 20-20 game, Melo had 21, I believe, CJ had 20 points as well. Like, Dame picks and chooses his shots and opportunities and makes most of them, which is, you know, awesome to begin with, because, like, he can pull up from literally from half court and hit it, like, with confidence multiple times, but that's the other thing, too, and, like, especially in a younger player, like, to be able to have that level of maturity already heading into the league and just building upon that, like, it's just, God, he's so fun. And I think this is going to be a Locked On Blazers podcast before this episode's over.
It's Blazers and Toronto to me in terms of franchises I think the Cavs can learn a lot from.
Blazers, Toronto, and Nuggets,
yes.
In terms of drafting well and developing your talent.
Yes. I just want to read this Carmelo Anthony quote as we get out of here about Dame. I told this to Chris Haynes from Yahoo yesterday, and Chris Haynes is sort of like a Dame like PR rep sort of, but Chris Haynes, great, did a stop in Cleveland as well. So this is what Carmelo told Yahoo. Quote, Dame's at the top for me. I've never played with someone who lifted his team on the court with his play and as a leader. He genuinely cares for his teammates. What he's been doing is amazing. He's the top guy I've played with.
That's big words from Carmelo. I mean, Carmelo's been on. He played with AI, but
yeah, and
that's big.
And if you just look at what Dame does, like he's just he just views it as part of his job to like lead his whole roster. And there's something I think very endearing about that as your franchise guy, especially again in a market like Portland. I think that is he's kind of a guy that if you can get a guy like that in that kind of market, I think it's a really good outcome for you.
No, absolutely, and Portland and the Cavs came in at the same time, and it's there's a kindred bond with these two squads. But no, I like the way I don't agree with some of the moves Portland makes. I do think that last year when they made the Western Conference Finals is like the apex of what this team is, because I don't think defensively CJ and Dame work very well, but like offensively, again, if Sexton and Garland were able to ever be that, like holy cow, that'd be a lot of fun offensively, but putrid defensively as we've seen so far. But they're just a fun squad, and I like the individual pieces. And before we wrap up, I have to ask you, do you think Carmelo will be back in Portland next year? Because I feel like, because I know like the word on the campfire is he might go back to the Knicks, and I would like to see him go back to the Knicks, but at the same time I wouldn't like to see him go back to the Knicks.
I want him to stay in Portland.
I'm glad that Carmelo, that's the one of my other favorite storylines this year, is able to prove that like he's not a washed up player and he's still good at what he does. Maybe not to the degree that what he does, but yeah, I mean, Dame said it himself. He's just like people. He's a Hall of Famer, and people seem to have forgotten that. And I think him staying in Portland would be a lot of fun and a lot of good for them.
Well, that's going to be it for today's episode of Lockdown Cavs. Thanks to OhioVersusEveryone.com, Built Bar, and DoorDash for sponsoring the show. Evan and I are going to be back tomorrow with a little more Cavs stuff. And before we get, actually, want to let you guys know, Thursday, 8:30, probably like 8:25-ish, actually, a little live before, we're going to do a live stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/LockdownCavs, talking about the NBA draft live and the draft lottery with Trevor Magnotti. So follow along for that and join us for that on Thursday. We'll have more details later in the week for that as we talk more and more about the draft, but we're really excited about that. That'll be up on Thursday night on Twitch, and then there'll be Friday's episode in case you can't join us live. But we're looking forward to that, and a very busy week here on Locked On Cavs. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.